my listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 27th, 2013. Full and great day yesterday. Wonderful Singing Men rehearsal. Midwest Potty House, Harriet's Reynolds, and Jeff Joslin, the sound man, all made it out yesterday. And my house and yard is totally back to normal after the Israel event. Hear all about it as yesterday's program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Thank you, God, for the tasty burgers and hot dogs from Gibson City Meat and Deli. Randy and Bonnie Aaron's there. And finally, before I introduce our two special guests in the studio, here's three more red ticket winners from Saturday's event. 791-943-792-006, 791-987. So, Rick and Valina, you've walked the nature trail, you've been up to the tree fort, you've seen the pet tricks. Do you have favorite experience thus far at the studios of Great News Radio?
Walking between the trees in the treehouse is probably it.
Yeah, I was going to say the treehouse.
Yeah, that's. I love having special guests get here a little earlier so we could do that. And, you know, it only takes a couple of minutes to walk through the nature trail. At least we walk through half of it.
Part of it, yeah.
And then up to the tree fort. And then I always tell everyone the story. All this that's been built around this tree was because I saw this tree fort in Fisher, and I wanted to be like 20 feet up in the air walking between two branches of a tree. And so that whole platform and that kind of building was all around so I could do that.
For that sole purpose.
You kind of appreciated that too, though. You caught the vision right away.
I did.
Well, you've also caught the vision for Illini Christian Ministries, and some of our listeners will be familiar with a prior name, Illini Children's Christian Homes, out of St. Joseph, and you've been the Director of Partnership Development. What does that mean? What is your role?
My role as Director of Partnership Development really is a combination of just building relationships and partnerships and collaborations with churches and other organizations and ministries. So it's a touch of communications, church relations, but it really is building a collaborative relationship with churches so we can work together.
And you've been in that role or serving there for about 7 years?
8 years. Just recently, last week, celebrated my 8th anniversary with Illini.
And you brought a special guest with you. Tell us and introduce Valina to our radio listening family.
Yeah, see if I can say her name correctly. Valina Claiborne is our coordinator of Safe Families for Children. She's been with us how long now, Valina?
It's been about 4 months.
4 months.
Oh,
yeah.
So very new.
Yes. Yep.
And how did you find this placement? What was the calling behind you saying, I'm going to take this job, or I want this job, or...
Well, I think actually Rick received that memo from the Lord because he called me to tell me that the position was becoming available. I wasn't looking, and
I've known Valina for a while. The past years we've been friends, and when her position opened up, I knew that she had the perfect skill set and the heart for it. So wanted to make her aware of that to see if she'd be interested. And she was.
Yeah.
And your position is the Safe Families for Children coordinator. So what's your focus or desire or passion?
With that position, I help come alongside churches to kind of implement the Safe Families for Children's program as a ministry within the church, so that way we can serve our community.
Now, I know before we prayed for this program, I asked you what goals, or if your prayer was going to be answered, what would you want our radio listeners to learn or discern or take away? And you said, well, our need for volunteers, we want to create a greater awareness of what this ministry does and the unique ways we serve families, and then also to empower and restore families. That's really the heart of what this ministry is about, right?
It is. It is. And I would add one more thing to that. It is really that coming together to do that, because our goal, in particular with Safe Families for Children, it's really a church-based ministry that we help cast a vision for, we help make the connections, but God's really called the local church to be the place where families are restored and lives transformed, so we want to help make that happen. So we come together to do that by providing temporary homes for children when that is needed. And really what that is what happens organically, naturally in the life of the church when a family faces crisis. There'll often be another family come along because we have that support system. Either their family, friends, church members, they'll take a child in for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, whatever the case is. Our goal is to work with those families that lack that support system. They don't have that. And to help the church become that, both by having host homes, but also family friends. And Valina can talk more about that, about those various roles. But at the heart of it really is helping the church fill that gap, coming around families who have nowhere else to turn, and being the hands and hearts of Jesus Christ in that case.
Now, you've answered kind of my next question, but prior to this program, mm-hmm. you asked me, how did the radio ministry start? And can you give me like a thumbnail, just a abbreviated version?
Oh,
I thought,
sure.
I don't know how.
Oh, sure.
And I think I went on for about 50. I mean, I'm glad you got here extra early because I took us right up to the program.
Oh,
but
no.
Can you do that for Illini Christian Ministries?
Sure. And there's sort of two stages. But the first really started in the mid-60s. A lady by the name of Lois Eidelman. Some listeners of Great News Radio may recognize the name Eidelman. Kyle Eidelman wrote a book, Not a Fan, that's been very popular over the past year, 2 years. His family's from St. Joseph. And Lois was in Indiana, saw a children's home in Indiana, came back. She was a part of the Church of Christ in St. Joseph, said, is there a need for this kind of ministry? And I always say, questions are dangerous because we ask God questions of why isn't there something like this? And his answer often is, that's a good one. Why don't you do it? And that question spurred a men's group in that area really to cast a vision for a children's home. And the purpose of that was to really mobilize the church, help the church come around families who are in crisis and overwhelmed, who need the place for the child to live for a while you worked at Restoration. And that's how it started about 15, 16, 17 years ago, started asking more questions. If our goal is restoration of family, though children's homes in that model is needed, and we still partner with them and work very closely with a number of them, is there a different way of doing the same thing? And we began to transition from that into recruiting individual homes to open up their home, really as an expression of biblical hospitality, to open their homes, their hearts, their lives to the most vulnerable, those in need.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having a group home with several kids in it, the goal was to have several homes spread out throughout the state of Illinois, actually, and particularly central Illinois, in this case, with safe families, who will take those children in while we can mobilize the church to come around that family in need. So we made that transition about 15 years ago to that. The Safe Families Initiative is relatively new in the last year or so. We also do adoption, both domestic and international adoption, and that became a part of the ministry about 15, 20 years ago.
And so you saw some skill sets in Valina and said mm-hmm. she would be a perfect one for mm-hmm. this. So what is some of your goals, personal goals, Valina? You want to get volunteers. You want to help encourage people to maybe step out of their comfort zone and say,
right.
hey, you can have a crucial role and a redemptive role even in these mm-hmm. people's lives or in the life of these families.
Right. So Safe Families for Children started at back in Illini about a year ago is when we started with the program. And it just seems that more awareness needs to be brought to the program. So as Rick had mentioned earlier, we have host homes. They're host families that open up their homes for strangers to kind of share that biblical hospitality. And then we also have family coaches who come alongside those bio families just to check in with them once a week, pray for them, see if there's any needs that they have, you know, if they need meals, they may need a break, you know, if it's families with multiple children, they may need a date night mm-hmm. if possible. And then we have the family friends who come alongside the biological families to help do some of that support services where, you know, maybe the mom needs assistance with resumes or filling out job applications or transportation around the community. So those are some of the things, the volunteer opportunities that we have available that we need to bring awareness for.
So, Sam, a listener, and I'm thinking, gosh, that sounded kind of simple, like just maybe driving somebody around or mm-hmm. babysitting or assisting. So how does it work? Do they contact you and then there's a screening process or some training? Or if I'm somebody thinking, shoot, biblical hospitality, you know, I can't kind of argue that Jesus has called me to do that, certainly, but I've never done something like this. So how would you speak to that individual that's maybe their heart's kind of warming up or beating a little faster, thinking, oh, no, I think God's
right.
bringing some conviction to me, some healthy conviction,
okay.
and he's wanting me to get involved? What would they do?
So the first thing they would do is just contact me directly at the office, and I would provide them with an application. I can either mail it to them, I can email it to them. They fill that out. Then we would go through some background check forms because we couldn't really be mm-hmm, called mm-hmm. Safe Families for Children right. if we didn't do that. And then after that, there is some training. There's some online training, and then there's some face-to-face training that I do with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you have somebody seated in a car, like up the block, checking them out? Oh, what story is that? Now, how did you meet your husband? Well, I always like to bring a little personal side into the morning program. Everyone loves a good love story. And
this is going
to
be good.
You're happily married, but I think there were some like unusual early encounters to see if he was the right one. Tell us a little about that.
Okay, so
nothing like putting on your spot, but our private conversation between thousands of listeners.
Right, right. So this is good though. This was a God thing, yeah. I think. So my husband and I, our parents went to high school together and have been friends. So sometimes I crack the joke and say it was an arranged marriage because our parents introduced us. However, there are pictures of us at birthday parties when we were like 3, 4, 5 years old. Apparently we played together and we have no recollection of any of this ever happening, right?
Yeah.
So our thought is, well, if we would have met then, it just wouldn't have worked out. So the Lord was like, nope, you don't need to know. Like, you can't really remember that. So one day, we exchanged numbers. Our parents actually gave one another our phone numbers. We talked on the phone for weeks before we could ever meet.
Hmm. Now, how old are you at this point when you're talking
28.
On the phone? Okay, 28.
28. And we talked on the phone for weeks. We finally were able to meet in person. And as Rick said earlier, he was kind of like sitting watching me as I walked into the restaurant to make sure that he was going to...
So he could make a quick escape.
He could leave, right, if he needed to, because he wasn't sure. He's like, well, she sounds cute enough over the phone, but I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's... I think there's a number of those Hollywood films where that's kind of the case.
Yeah.
Or what's that one example in the story where... The woman really wants to see the character of the man, so she actually hires a friend that's maybe not the most attractive or whatever, and the guy still brings her the flowers, the roses.
And follows through on that.
Yeah, and she's so impressed with him because maybe she seemingly might not have been the most desirable person, but that he stuck with it. She thought, I like this guy. And anyway, so, it all works a lot. How long have you been married now?
It'll be 5 years this year.
Well, congratulations. So I know that was kind of a fun story for our listeners. Oftentimes I'll ask people, show off the baby. Tell us a story, something that you like to share with people. And it seems like you're very much in love with your husband. Tell me something about him. He might be even tuned in that's like unique or that you think is special or that drew you to him.
Okay, so the unique part is when I make his lunch every day, he wants the exact same thing every day. He wants a turkey sandwich with a slice of cheese, and he wants mayo on one side of the bread, and then he wants peanut butter on the other.
Now, everyone will know Cam's preference for lunch.
For lunch, every single day.
Same thing. Wow, that's kind of simple. But,
You think peanut butter, mayo, cheese, turkey.
Is there anything about his character, about who he is?
Well, he says something unique about him. That's pretty unique. I mean, those are unique taste buds, don't you think?
And I bet he has probably a pretty good sense of humor to be with you.
You picked up on that, Mark, huh? Okay.
That is true.
Well, Rick, serving for 8 years with Illini Christian Ministries, I'm sure you've seen God do some unique and redemptive work in families' lives, in people's lives, and I'm sure, like any position of ministry, there's demands, it's taxing, people are pulling on you, there's heartache, there's hurt, there's loss.
Yeah.
How do you fortify yourself to get through each day, or what motivates you to want to do this each and every day?
Okay, yeah. One of the things we do as a staff at Illini Christian Ministries, when we meet on a monthly basis for staff day, is we begin the day telling stories. And tell a story when something happened this month that affirmed your calling, that really shows that you're where you're supposed to be. And the way I always describe it is when it happens, you go, this is why I do what I do. And for me, and it's a little bit different than some of the staff maybe, because I have a real heart for churches working together, for coming together, and how God just draws that and makes that happen. So it's when God seems to open a door and connect people that did not know each other before, that enables them to work together for the kingdom, whether it's through Illini or not sometimes. But we do that. And I think of how some of that comes together with a story of a young boy named Theo that came into care with us. Theo was 2 or so when we met his mom, who had some number of issues going on and needed help with her child. And over a year's time, Theo was in a couple different families who cared for him, the Jacksons in Decatur and then the Gothiers, who were living in Champaign at the time. And through that year, as he developed and really began to thrive and is now back home with his mom in Danville, and God's just used that time. But what for me excited me about that whole process was seeing that change is how God used different people. Mm-hmm. The Gothiers were a young couple that I knew Morgan. It was Scott and Morgan. And Morgan was a part of the youth group where I was a pastor at a church in the north suburbs of Chicago. So I've known her since she was in junior high. And she has a real heart for ministry, went through Lincoln Christian University, planning to be a missionary. And while living in Champaign for a time with her husband, as they were making plans, called one day and said, Rick, we know about Illini and what you guys do. And we always thought we'd go to the mission field to serve kids, and maybe we still will. But we know right now in our own home, in our apartment in Champaign, we can open up our home and provide that place for a child full of compassion and care while we work with that family to bring restoration. And they hosted Theo for several months. And to watch that, Morgan and Scott's faith grow as they learn to serve and open their life up to Theo and other children, and to watch Theo thrive as families cared for him, and then to be able to go back home and for he and his mom to be in a better place, stronger place, having a number of churches over that year come around them and show them the love of Jesus Christ. That is powerful for me.
Now, you mentioned working with churches and being the director of partnership development. Do you go into a church and then present kind of the ministry opportunities the way that maybe a whole church or a church congregation can come and embrace a certain family or many opportunities?
Yeah. I mean, often the role, and Felina does this as well, is our real vision is to mobilize that whole church. And so, you know, develop that partnership with them where they can cast a vision of if we want to impact our community for Christ, if we want to see transformation take place, there's many ways of doing that. But one way may be partnering with ICM through, say, families, through parenting partners or other things we do that will enable us to open our lives up to some of those children and families. So we both will work with churches in working with the leaders, working with finding a person in that church that has a heart for this kind of ministry and building a team within that church where it can really become that church's ministry that we help happen. But it really is a heartbeat of that church as they have a concern for reaching their community.
Now, Valina, I kind of sidetracked you because I kind of wanted to get a little of that love story in, and we were talking about volunteering in the many different ways, whether it's driving people around, but maybe list some of the things because somebody might be tuned in and feeling like, you know, they could do something. And it can be very simple tasks to even housing the children overnight or give us kind of some of the various things they can do, because people could be saying, I can't do that. Like, I can't help somebody with their resume, but I could drive them somewhere or babysit, or what are some of the many needs that you have? And then we'll need a phone number or a website to find out more information.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, there is babysitting, there may be transportation, but there's also physical needs, diapers, bottles, clothing, school supplies. Sometimes when our children come to us being placed in our host homes, they have nothing with them if it's a quick transition. So we give them backpacks filled with, you know, basic necessities, you know, some toiletries, pajamas, a change of clothes, but then we also try to put fun things in there, stuffed animal, coloring book, something that they can say that's theirs, that they can call their own. So people can donate things, and they can just spend time. Like, a lot of times our host families just may need someone to talk to, you know, to bounce things off of, or to just pray, you know, for these families. Just go sit with them and pray with them.
So it could be as extensive as like a real mentoring relationship and ongoing, to maybe just filling in for a half hour, a couple days a week, to even housing family.
Yeah, because you know, at the linchpin of it is that host home that provides a home for a child. And that could be a few days, or a few weeks, or a few months, as the case may be. But then even that, you know, if somebody could provide babysitting or respite for that family for a weekend during the day, I mean, just so even providing that for a child, as well as the many things that Valina just talked about, that the relational stuff with the families.
Now, I know the ideal would be a husband-wife family that could be involved, but say there's a single mom that has two or three kids that could fill in, or say a senior saint that's like, wow, I could babysit. So it could be a lot of different models of how people can help, right?
Absolutely.
And what's the phone number and a website?
And I would say probably one of the untapped resources that we've not touched on is Empty Nesters and
Senior Saint.
If you want to use that term.
Yeah,
I'm getting too old.
We have a lot of them. A lot of our listeners are our Senior Saints.
I'm getting too old to use that term.
We're becoming Senior Saints.
But because they have experienced life, they have raised children, and they have that expertise and experience. So, and so many kids just when we talk about that age group, so many kids need a grandma and grandpa, just sort of an adoptive one to be there, and so that segment of the church would love to get more involved with this.
Yeah, senior saints have so much to offer.
Oh, they do,
and sometimes they maybe have been sidelined or figure like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can be used of God, but this would be a great ministry for them to partner with to maybe engage in some small activity. Maybe it's just showing somebody how to bake a pie or something simple like that.
Yes, we're in favor of baking pies.
Yeah.
So,
so they need to make two.
Three.
One for them, one for you. Now, Rick, isn't there something coming up in the days ahead, some unique event coming up with music?
We're doing it's really just an awareness event for safe families at Grace Community Church in Champaign. It's just a night of music with a couple local bands, Matter of Days and Susie and the Shy Guys, with just a small cover charge. There'll be food and drinks, and it's mostly just a night of family-friendly night for music and friends and learn a little bit more about safe families.
And if people want to purchase tickets in advance, where do they go?
Yeah, there's no tickets in advance. It's just at the door, and just like I said, a small cover charge, $5, and that's all it is.
Is this information on your website?
The information is on our Facebook page, which you can find it at facebook.com/ICM Family.
ICM Family. All right, great. And a phone number for more information if something that was said or shared today interests them, or they want to financially support or get involved or volunteer or learn more, what number can they call?
The phone number at our office is 217-469-7566. It's 217-469-7566. To get more information about Safe Families and Atlanta Christian Ministries, you can find us on the web at icmfamily.org. That is icmfamily.org.
Well, it sounds like a great ministry outreach work that you're doing. Illini Christian Ministries, Inc., right out of St. Joe, but covering much or most of Illinois?
Yeah. Different aspects of our ministry covers the state of Illinois. Safe Families is an initiative in the central part of the state.
Well, thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for driving out, and thanks for treating Beamer so well. He loves you guys. He's always joining
Beamer
me in the studio. Yeah, he's a good dog.
Mark.
Yeah, you said more dogs like Beamer.
I want Beamer I want a dog in a box with a bow that's just like Beamer. Deliver it to me, just like that.
Yeah, so if there's any listeners who have a dog like that, Valina will
put
take
him in a box with a bow. Yeah, I'll take him.
And if it includes what, a sandwich with turkey and mayo and peanut butter on each side with the cheese in there. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about that. So, well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.